discussing, I just want to recap it a little bit, that there's seven areas in a person's life they should trust in Hashem. Seven areas in a person's life. The first area is one's own physical concerns, one's own physical problems, health, clothing, shelter, whatever they have. A person's got to trust in Hashem. A person can worry all they want, it's not going to help them. Worry is not going to help. We have to realize worry doesn't help. Worry does not help. Number two, a person's money and sources of income. A person's got to trust in God. We don't know. He said there's many, Hashem has many messages. If Hashem wants to send, he'll find a way. There's some, I don't know, Hashem has amazing ways of sending things. Number three, worrying about one's own family. A person has family here, family there. Today, we're all scattered all over the world. It's crazy. I have kids all over. So can't start worrying about them. You will never sleep at night. So it's very important to have bitachon, have trust in God. About one's spouse goes to work, you're worried about what's happening with her. She's driving the car. You won't be able to sleep. But one way to have one of rest of mind, one of peace of mind. So it's very, very important to have trust in God. And the more we worry about these things, the worse it is. And sometimes our worries can cause the problem. Right? Sometimes I worry, we don't really realize that sometimes the mind can cause damage. Because by thinking about something bad, it causes something bad. A person's got to think positive thoughts all the time. It's very important to think positive thoughts all the time. And then a person has to have trust in God also, that they'll be able to do mitzvot. Different kinds of mitzvot between man and God, between man and man. It's interesting that concept of trusting God even in spiritual things, that we... it's very hard to grasp. You're trusting God that He'll give us the person the ability to do mitzvot. We have to. And it's interesting, I was reading today how Hashem appreciates prayers not just for physical things, but also for spiritual things. For example, a person should pray to Hashem, give me emunah. I want to have more emunah in you. Give me emunah. Give me the ability to have bitachon in you. So pray to God, part of one's prayers. It's amazing. People don't pray for these things. We pray for wealth, health, whatever. But we don't pray for spiritual Hashem. The truth is we do, because it's part of our prayers. We pray for wisdom, to learn Torah. We pray for teshuvah, we pray for slicha. But why don't we pray for emunah? Why don't we pray for bitachon? Hashem, give us bitachon. The truth is that a person prays without bitachon is not really praying. How can you pray to God without trusting in God? So you have to. The fact that we're praying to God shows that we believe God has the way to answer our prayers. Otherwise, why would we pray to God? So, but it's interesting, but a person's got to think about it. I'm praying to God because He has the answers. I'm praying to God because He has the ability to give me. That's very important. That's very critical. Before a person prays, a person's got to clarify. Why am I praying? So it's, the trouble is that we get into habits. We pray, we pray, we pray. We forget why we're praying. We forget that this is the only address. The only one who can help us is Hashem. And we trust in God about the reward in the world to come. We trust God is going to pay us back. Hashem is our employer. Who's the employer? Hashem. Hashem's our employer. One day Hashem will pay us back. Bezrat Hashem. And sometimes Hashem can even give a reward for no reason. And that's amazing. That's we have trust in God as well. Person Hashem has the quality of Hanun. Hashem pays someone back for no reason at all. Anyway, so now we're moving on. And now he talks about where money comes from. Money comes from Hashem. You have to realize that. Wealth comes from Hashem. Even though we feel, and we know, and Americans really believe in this, is no pain, no gain. And we know that. Right? A person's got to sweat for their daily. And yet some people, they inherit wealth. Right? Case in point, I'm not going to go into details. You can guess who I'm talking about. But case in point, person's parents are billionaires and the child inherits very easily. Gets everything on a silver platter. Right? So some people acquire money through great toil and efforts, and others just inherit it. It's amazing. Those that expend great energy, they believe that their energy brought them the wealth. Right? It's amazing how people get wealthy today. And just look at Facebook. I mean, how long? 7 years he became a multi-billionaire. I mean, it's amazing. Listen, let's not go into that. He became religious. He saw the light somehow. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden now he says religion has a purpose. He's getting slowly. He's become Baal Teshuva slowly. He's going to go the whole way. But listen, I'm just saying how easy it is today to make money. You make an app. You can design an app. $1 an app, and a million people download it, you got $1 million right there. Amazing. Oh, such small. It doesn't take much today. Hashem has to give us a person a brain and put some energy in the brain, and that's what therefore he does. You have two kids in Israel, so they just made an app, amazing app, and I don't know, millions of downloads already. Two kids, high school kids. It's like an app. It doesn't take much today to make money. It's like it's very easy today. So a lot of people just do it through hard labor. And then you see these little kids in the dorm rooms, they're designing something that can make fortunes. Amazing. So those that expend great energy believe their efforts brought them their wealth. Who's that guy who made WhatsApp? It's a Russian guy, Russian Jew.
Russian? He was in San Francisco.
Yeah, okay. Just saying, he made an app, WhatsApp. And who bought it? Facebook bought it. Yeah. How many billion dollars? 17 billion. Hard to imagine. Doesn't take long today. Doesn't much. So it's so easy. Hashem can give a person Hashem wants to give someone. Today it's much easier than ever before. It's like the amount of effort you need to do to put your money in, nothing. You just have to go to the right school. You have to go to the right school to learn the right tricks. That's all. Right techniques. Go to coding school and you pick up the technique. Make an app. Hurry, yalla. You get it. So today it's very easy, but today we feel, and the person says, you know, I put in my efforts and I made it. It's me. Wrong. It wasn't you. Hashem gave you the power, and that's something very big mitzvah we have to remember every day. Hashem gives us the ability to earn. Hashem gives us the ability to think. Hashem gives us all our abilities. And we have to realize who is the one who's giving us. Hashem is the one giving us. So it's very important to realize that. And people praise their jobs or their businesses, but they don't actually praise God. And that's the truth. A person has to know who the source is. We have to know who the source, where is everything coming from. And he gives a little mashal over here, the Chovei Levavot gives a little mashal on page 41. You compare them to a person who's wandering through the desert, tired and terribly thirsty. He came upon a well containing not such good well water, but he quenched his thirst. Further down, he really gets a nice, fresh, clean spring of water. He says, oh dear, he says, I wish I didn't fill my thirst with the previous water, which is disgusting. I wish I'd waited now to get this clean water. So too, a rich man who acquired his wealth through difficult and bitter means should realize he could have found something easier later on. This really hurts, you know. Person really worked hard all their life, and then they find later on they could have done something really simple and they could have made so much money. And so it's all from God. Person should really think about this. So that's what, and today it's much easier than ever before. This is so true today. These little kids, they're making millions, and we're slogging away all your life. Slog. And these little kids with one idea, they can make fortunes. Amazing. It's too easy today. Really is easy today. You just have to be in the right field, the right time, and know what you're doing. It's right. So we have to realize that, and that's today. It's so true. What he's saying now, 1,000 years ago, is so true, especially today. So a person can slug all their lives and say, you know, I made it. It's my hard work. And you see a little kid doing little nothing, peanuts, and he makes much more in a much shorter time, much less effort and everything. I was going to say, listen, it's all in God's hands. Everything is in God's hands. So, a person's going to trust in Hashem for their livelihood. We have to trust in Hashem. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know if there'll be a tomorrow. We have no idea what's going on. We have no idea at all. Every day we've got to trust Hashem that things will go well, instead of worrying. Worrying is the worst thing. Worrying removes the person from Hashem. When a person worries, they're removing themselves from Hashem. They think, I'm worried, what's going to happen tomorrow? But worry about Hashem. Hashem will look after you. Don't worry. Hashem is there. So one who trusts in Hashem for his livelihood, and one day finds himself without a livelihood, he should say, A person who brought me into this world, Hashem brought me into this world, is now holding back my livelihood for a specific period of time, and he knows what is best for me. Hashem knows what is best for the person. We have to know everything is a livelihood, it's a galgal, it's a cycle in the world. One generation goes, one generation comes, and sometimes the money goes, sometimes the money comes, it goes through generations. One has been a man of means and now can afford nothing beyond his basic needs and personal needs. Should say, early in my life, God provided me with my mother, just enough food for every day. And then he made me onto better things until I acquired wealth. And just like my mother's milk didn't harm me, so too, being limited means will not harm me. And a person will be rewarded for being content with their basic needs. That's a very big test, to be content. That's the main thing. The main thing is whatever you have to be happy. That's very, very, very important idea, to be happy with what you have. And a person will be rewarded for being happy. The reward is not how much you have. The reward is how happy you are with what you have. Right? Hashem rewards a person to being happy. That's it. So Hashem says, I gave you this. Are you happy about it? No, I want more. Well, you don't get rewarded for it. You have a little, you're happy, you get rewarded. You have a lot, you're not happy, you don't get rewarded. The reward is if you're happy what Hashem gave. Hashem, I'm happy what you gave me. That's why Birkat HaMazon, doesn't matter what you eat. We eat a kazayit of bread, Birkat HaMazon. You eat 10 pounds of bread, Birkat HaMazon. Same Birkat HaMazon. Huh? You saw my spiritual reward. Spiritual reward is for the contentment. Because when a person is content, they're happy, they thank God. Person not content, I don't think of. The relationship with Hashem is different when a person's happy, when a person's not happy. When a person's happy, they have a better relationship with Hashem.
The same as the contentment is the reward.
No, contentment is not reward. Contentment is the test. Are you going to be contented or not? That's the test. That was the test of the man. Mm-hmm. Hashem said, I'm going to test you with the man. How are you going to test me with the man? Are you going to be happy with the man? Are you going to be content with what Hashem gives you? That's the test of the man. That's what he tells us now. As our ancestors who were content with the measure of manna and man in the desert, as it says, let the people go out and pick each day's portion on its day. They're rewarded by the Creator. The what? That they were content with the man. An omer of man, which is one little basket of man. And they pick up a man and it lasts them the whole day, and they're happy. They're content. It lasts the whole family. It's amazing. And that's what Prophet Yirmiyahu says. This is one of the most beautiful psukim in the Prophet Yirmiyahu Shtaim Bet. Yirmiyahu says, "Zacharti la chesed neuraich. I remember the kindness of your youth. Lechtech acharai b'midbar. You went after me in the desert, Be'eretz lo zera, in a land which is not planted." Hashem says, "I remember you guys were kind to me. Jews were kind to me. What do you mean Jews were kind to you? What do we do to be kind to you? You went after me into a desert. Can you imagine how much faith that took? Take your children, your grandchildren, move everyone, your cattle, everyone into the desert. There's nothing to eat. But Hashem will provide. We trusted in God. That was the kindness of our youth. We were kind to God. That no one else trusted in God. We trusted our lives in God's hands. And we have proof. We're living proof. The fact, I was telling my daughter what a miracle we are that we survived. We are a living testament to God's power. We Jews, we're here. Look, after all this, I can't believe we survived. It's a miracle. We're sitting here learning to write. It's a miracle. We don't really realize it's a miracle. We have all these persecutions and pogroms and exile and this and that, wandering from place to place, and we're still here. It's a miracle. There's no bigger miracle than anything. And plus, not only are we here, we're in big time. We're here big time. We're in Israel. It's amazing. It's a miracle. It's a tremendous miracle. We see the problems. We don't see the success. We don't see the amazing hand of God. This is the hand of God. This is Yad Hashem. It's open hand, Yad Hashem. If a person's livelihood comes through working in a profession he dislikes, or in a place he dislikes, or for an employee he does not care for, he should say to himself, Hashem created me in a specific form and image, and with specific qualities which are in my best interest. So too, he determined that my livelihood should come in this specific way because it serves my interest best. You know, the person's got to say, everything is from hand, Hashem. If I can better myself, of course, look around. But if you can't better yourself, you have to be happy with what you have. This is what Hashem wants right now. I'm in this position because this is what Hashem wants right now. That's the thing. So the person has this, there are different ways of looking at it. So you can look at it and say, listen, Hashem put me in this position. If it's not such a nice position, maybe I should look for a better position. And the truth is, you should look for a better position, for sure. But if you can't find anything better, that's what Hashem wants. Right now, that's what Hashem wants. You gotta pray. A person's prayers opens doors. We have to realize a person's prayers opens doors. And that's the bottom line, as we say in Tehillim, Tzadik hu b'chol derechav. Hashem is righteous in all His ways. Hashem wants the best for us. We have to realize that. Hashem wants the best for us. Hashem is our parent who wants the best for us, and Hashem gives us the best for us. But He also wants us to be independent to a certain extent. He wants us to be able to find our way to a certain extent. We try our best, and we can't find our way, we have to cry to God, Hashem, help us again. Hashem, help us. Okay, so that's trusting God regarding our finances, our wealth. We've got to trust in God, and the test is, are you content? That's the big test. The test is, are you happy? Are you happy with what you have? Person's got to find contentment with what they have. Person's got to find contentment with whatever they make. Person's got to be contented and thank God for what they have and bless God for what they have. Because it can always be worse. It can always be better. But listen, even when it's better, people are not content. Person's got to find, be content. Be happy with what you have. It's very hard to be happy with what you have. That's the whole test of today's society. People, they want to buy more, buy more, buy more. If you're happy with what you have, you won't buy more. You won't go to the mall. You won't buy any more clothes. That's it. You're happy with what you have. It's a materialistic society. Capitalism will come to an end if people are happy with what they have. I'm happy with my car. I'm not going to sell it. What do you mean? It's 20 years old. Well, I'm happy. It's working. Okay. Too bad. Because there's good sales going on right now. You know, that's what they'll tell you. There's new devices, new this, new that. Okay. But a person's going to be happy with what they have. That's the test. The test is, are we happy with what we have? And it's hard to be happy with what you have today. You have a phone, you want to get a new phone. You have a car, you want to get a new car. You have a dining set, and you want to get a new dining set. You have a house, you want to get a bigger house. We're never happy. We're never happy. But to some extent, the person's going to be happy. You can temporarily be happy. In the meantime, I'm happy right now. Huh? Some people, even when they buy it, the next day they see something nicer. They say, I bought it messed up. I bought it expensive. I bought it this. Yeah, you can't tell them anything. Someone buys something, you can't tell them. You can't tell them. You know, you ruin their whole experience by telling them, you know, why do you buy this? It's horrible color, this and that. It's horrible. You can't tell someone that. It's not asur. Asur. That's machlo beit shammai beit hillel, right? Are you allowed to say the wife is beautiful when she's not beautiful? Mm-hmm. And beit hillel says yes, and that's his proof. His proof is what? Someone buys something, you tell him the truth. It's not nice. You bought it.
Not really, I think it's obviously the one that's marrying her, please.
Yeah, obviously. Hopefully. Okay, now we come to the third area of trust. So the first area we talked about, different areas of trust, is how hard a person should work. We talked about work, physical health, that's number one. Health, trusting God for one's health. And how a person should go to try their best to avoid danger. We talked about Shmuel HaNavi, right? He talked to Hashem. And Hashem sends it to anoint David HaMelech. And Shmuel HaNavi says, I can't go and tell everyone I'm going to anoint David because Shaul will kill me. Hashem says, okay, so take a korban and offer up the korban. So you're coming to offer up a sacrifice. So that's number one. Number two is, we talked about how hard a person should work for a living. And number two is also part, we talk about wealth, comes from God. Number three, trusting God. And that is regarding one's family. A person's got to trust in God regarding one's family. Everyone is in one of two situations. This is very interesting, because he goes through all the permutations of here. If you live alone and feel forlorn, Hashem will be your companion. Like being in solitary confinement, who's going to be with you? And the answer is, a Jew is never alone. A Jew is never alone. Person says, I feel alone. You're never alone. What do you mean, no, you're never alone? Hashem is always there with you. Hashem will be your companion. When you trust in Him, you will find consolation. When you think how out of place and lonely every soul which is purely spiritual must feel in this physical world. Hear that? The soul is very lonely. It's a soul in a physical world. It's lonely. People don't realize how lonely the soul is. Because the soul is lonely. Essentially, all people in this world, even those who have families, are out of place. We're all strangers. Our souls are all out of the place.
This is before internet, before cell phone, or
before everything.
Before mail.
Of course, so. This before. So even with this junk, this junk is just messing up our minds, that's all. It's just surreality. It's not reality. It's surreality. The reality of the situation is that we are strangers in this world. Why? Our souls are not from this world. Our souls are from a different world. We're all aliens. Think about it.
Yeah.
We're all aliens.
Yeah.
We're all from outer space. We're all from outer space. We're all from a different dimension. Our souls are from different dimensions. And it's forced into this world. Our souls are forced. It's hard to think about this, right? Our souls are forced into this world, and if our souls are out of place, and all our souls are lonely. Amazing. Amazing way of thinking of things. And that's what it says. It says in Vayikra, you are strangers and temporary residents with me. So it's interesting. We are all strangers in this world, and therefore each one of us, even if we have relatives, are very lonely. Why? Because my soul is not really linked. It's not linked. Plus, that's number one. So either you live alone, you live with others, but really still, even if you live with others, you're still lonely. A person's got to know all the time, who is my companion? Hashem. The true companion of the soul is Hashem. The spiritual soul is alone, spiritual companion is Hashem. Reflect also on this fact. This is very morbid, by the way, I want to warn you. It's very, very morbid. Even one who has relatives, this is a very morbid thought, will eventually end up in a grave where they are alone. Oh boy. Horrible thought. The grave is a very lonely place. And neither a relative nor a child can help or keep them company. See, we don't really realize there's awareness beyond the grave. People don't realize that there's awareness that goes beyond the grave. That's the reason why we go visit a grave, we put a stone over there. Who are we putting a stone for? So the pshat is, Yehaskel HaNavi says, when you see a bone, you cover it with a stone. In those days, they never had big tombstones. Each one would come and add a stone on the grave to keep the sign of a grave there. It'd be a collection of stones. Every time you come, you add a stone. Some people would come and take stones away. You come and add stones. Just keep the sign of the grave. That's a pshat. But the Kabbalah is that you put the stone there for the soul to realize that someone came to visit. Because the soul is coming backwards and forwards to the body. It's still, especially the first year. So eventually everyone's going to be lonely. We're all going to be alone. So a person's going to take comfort that Hashem is the one who's going to keep us company. There's no one else going to keep us company. Hashem is the one who keeps us company. So neither a relative nor a child keep us company. Furthermore, a person who's alone, lives alone, is relieved of the heavy burden and obligation of supporting a family. You should consider this as a favor from Hashem. All the singles over here. It's a favor from Hashem. If you are occupied with the worldly matters, you won't have time to work. You have to work so hard to support a family. But if you're single, you won't have to work so hard to support a family. Not having a wife or family make your life more relaxed and easier.
In favor of monks.
If you spend your time praying for the afterlife, your mind undoubtedly will be clearer and more free when you are able to go into seclusion to meditate. There's an advantage of being single. There's a spiritual advantage of being single.
Be a monk.
Be a monk. There you go. You can retreat into the mountains, Yossi. In order to free your mind for God's service. Here we are. So to the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im, the prophets, would go into seclusion to contemplate their duties to Hashem. And the spirit of prophecy would come to them. So if you're single, there's an advantage. There's, you know, if you're saying there's an advantage, I don't know. He's not advocating marriage. It's very interesting. But he's saying that a person, in other words, a person should be happy with their circumstance. They tried. Couldn't get married. They're trying to get married. They can't get married. Listen, look on the bright side. The bright side is you have less trouble. You have less responsibilities. You have more time for spirituality. And it's a yeshiva bocher. They're single and the yeshiva. It's the best time of your life. Why? Because you put your mind in a gemara. If you can do that. The trouble is the yeshiva gets a person on both sides. That's the trouble. But the Nevi'im would do this. You have to leave their wife. Moshe Rabbeinu was a classic. He had to leave his wife. Completely. Completely terrible. He had two sons and he left his wife. Hashem said, leave your wife.
What?
story, right? Because Maharaj spoke in Yushin, and so he can find us to bring someone closer to God.
It does. In other words, a peace, a person has peace of mind, a person has pure mind, yeah. Holy mind, hopefully. So he can pray and meditate, but still it's not the same because you have to go to the mikveh and whatever, and you have to to be totally secluded. When prophecy would come upon them, you have to separate completely. We notice in the episode where Eliyahu meets Elisha. He came upon Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing. 12 pairs of oxen were going before him. As soon as Eliyahu came with a slight hint, Elisha understood and said, "Please let me kiss my father and mother, and I will follow you." He says goodbye to his father and mother, and he goes and follows Eliyahu Navi. Why did he leave his father and mother? And since he's got to become a Navi, he's got to leave his physical existence. He's got to leave everything behind. So now he brings a very strange story. There's a story about an ascetic. I don't think it's a true story. So this is make-believe. As Rabbi Rieti would say, it's a true story that never happened. There's a story about an ascetic who went to a city to teach its inhabitants how to serve God. He discovered everyone's clothing and jewelry were the same color. In some circles, everything's the same. Right? Black, black. He noticed graves at their front doors. And there were no women there. He asked them the meaning of all this. The people said, look the answer here. Our clothing are all similar, so no one can tell the difference between the poor and the rich. The rich will not become conceited and arrogant, and the poor will not become ashamed of themselves. In this manner, the rich people will realize his situation is the same as his situation in the grave, rich and poor are equal. They continued. We once had a king who would mingle with the servants. No one recognized him. He came dressed very humbly and wore only the plainest jewelry. We placed the graves of our deceased relatives by our front doors to serve as reproof and to remind us to be ready for death, to prepare provisions of good deeds that will get us to our final resting place in the world to come. Regarding your observation, we don't have any wives and children. Where are the wives and children? We have a special city for our wives and children. We go there to take care of the needs whenever it's necessary. Then we return to this place. We do this because we notice how distracted we become and how much time we lost, how much pressure and tension we were under when our families were close to us. And how relaxed we were when they were away from us. Now we have the inner peace to focus on the concerns of the world to come. To turn away from worldly matters. In other words, this is just a parable. In other words, the person should find a place. And that's what we're doing over here. We're escaping from the realities of family life and children and pressure. And studying about God. This is what we're doing. This is it. We're talking about a little bubble. You can get away from physicality and come and spend your time in spirituality. That's what Beit Midrash is. The Beit Midrash is a spiritual bubble. You can leave the physicality and concentrate and focus on the spirituality. And realize what it's about. Life is about the soul. Life is about preparing for the next world. So a person has to trust in God to fulfill his obligations to his family and be sincere with them. So a person has a spouse and has family. So first we talk about people who don't have a spouse and family. Now we talk about people who do have a spouse and family. And wives, relatives, friends, and enemies. I don't know why he throws in enemies all the time. I guess you can't live without enemies. Everyone has enemies. He must trust in God that God will save them from being overburdened by their demands.
Very action oriented. Yes. I mean, we have all the holidays. We have times of the temple and the rebuilt temple. We'll have the sacrifice.
Okay.
And everything.
Three holidays a year was a big deal.
Well, but his story is advocating the ascetic lifestyle where.
He didn't say that. He said he's saying have one city for your wife and children.
Right. But
in other words, you have to have time.
God and to contemplate.
Yeah.
So should our job be doing things in this world?
He says also mitzvot. He talks about mitzvot as well. A person should put the graves outside the door so that they'll contemplate that the spirituality, the spiritual deeds will bring them to the next world. It's impossible to do anything without mitzvot. You have to eat a mitzvot as well. But there's mitzvot between man and man, and mitzvot between man and God. Don't forget, the name of the book is Chovat Levavot. We're talking about the duties of the heart. So what are the duties of the heart? To contemplate God. contemplate about bitachon and emunah. These are the six mitzvot, daily mitzvot, which people don't focus on at all.
Yeah.
We're all busy doing mitzvot. We're all busy doing chesed and teaching and this and that. But we have to also think about our emunah, the purity. That's the key. The key is God. Hashem is the one. That's what we're doing. We're serving God. The person doesn't think about Hashem. I lost everything. The key is Hashem. So Hashem will save us. Hashem will help us fulfill our obligations. So a person, can you imagine, a person gets married. I got married. I don't know how I got married. I had $400 in my pocket. Get married. And then you see, you sign the papers. Hey, sign your papers. I'm going to support you. I'm going to provide for you, even from the shirt off my back. I have nothing. Oh, okay, I have my shirt off my back. You have to sign the paper with emunah. Hashem is going to help. As the rabbis say, you have to jump in. It's like crossing the sea. You jump in and you trust in Hashem, and Hashem will save you. And Hashem did. Hashem does. If the person's going to jump in, if you don't jump, nothing's going to happen. People are worried. How will I get married? I'm going to support my wife. Women are very demanding, especially American women. And you hear the whole story. Well, you have to jump in. That's how you get married. The only way you get married is you jump in. You jump. You jump and you see how the sea splits. That's what life is all about. You jump in and you see how the sea splits. If you don't jump, you know what's going to happen. You have to jump. You have to say yes. All you have to do is say yes.
I do.
Well, the men sometimes have to do more than that. Men have to ask. Will you marry me? Yes. Okay. Yalla. Let's go. Let's find a rabbi now. Okay.
Wait. That's after you found a rabbi.
After you find the rabbi, okay. You find the rabbi already. I won't charge you, don't worry. It's free. Just jump. It's going to be free. Okay. So, we have to have emunah. A person's got to have emunah. There's no way. A person cannot run life without emunah. You won't cross the street without emunah. A person won't do anything without emunah. He's too scared. It's fear. Fear holding the person back. How will I do it? Won't do anything. You have to do it. You have to jump in and do it. That's all you can do. Jump in and do it. And there are many things you have to jump in and do it. So that's what he's talking about. How will I fulfill my obligations? How can I do what they ask me to do? And the answer is, you've got to have a emunah. And this is very, well, this is 1,000 years ago. You must not cause them harm. A man must not cause his family harm. He must do whatever he can to make them happy. He must be faithful in all his things. He must teach them to advance in Torah and worldly matters in order to serve God. For it says, what's the source? Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. What's he applying it to? To one's family, spouse, and children. And it says, you will not hate your brother in your heart. Talking about your relatives. Don't do kind things to your loved ones in order to receive reward or to be repaid by them later on. Because you love being honored and praised by them. Your only purpose should be to fulfill the Creator's commandments. Love your spouse to fulfill the Creator's commandments. Love your children to fulfill the Creator's commandments. If you're doing it because you think they're going to give you something back, you're going to be very badly disappointed. So that's very important. The only purpose is to fulfill Hashem's commandments, to keep His covenant, to observe His ordinances. If you do what your loved ones ask of you for selfish reasons, you will not get what you hope for in this world. You have labored in vain and furthermore forfeit your reward in that world to come. So you have to personally realize, when you get married, you're doing it, you're getting schar. Person getting rewarded in the world to come. You do the mitzvah of God. Bring your children to the world, you do the mitzvah of God. Person says, I'm doing it because I want honor. I want to do it because of... I'll tell you, there's no honor in it. There's no honor in it. There's no other things in it. It's just purely... You're raising children. There's honor in it. Is there anything you're getting out of it? What are you getting out of it? Nothing. You have to pay through your nose. Just keep on giving. Hashem's giving as well. Hashem's also your father. He's also giving you. So he's giving you and you're giving it on. You're passing it on. That's what it's for. The idea is that person should be a vehicle in the world of giving. Hashem is using a person as a utility to give. So the more people you give, the better. The more children you have, the more you give. The more family you give, the better. It's coming through you. The shefa, the bracha is coming through the person. That's a very, very important idea. A person should become a conduit for blessing in the world. A person should be a conduit for blessing the world. The more you're a conduit for blessing, the more blessing you get. Very simple. My rabbi in England used to say, when you give tzedakah, you clear the pipes. When you clear the pipes, there's a blockage. Hashem's not giving you. Why? Because of the blockage. When you give, the blockage just goes. It's like you just rota-rota. You did rota-rota for the spiritual blockage. There's a spiritual blockage, you give, and the spiritual blockage goes, and all the everything starts working again. So, if your intent is to serve Hashem, you'll find people will praise you. People will respect you. They say, well, I'm not doing for anything. What am I doing for? Your children will love you. Why? Because they'll say, Daddy, he's not doing anything for me. What's he doing for? He's not doing it for praise. He's not doing it for this. He's not doing it for that. It's not a power struggle. He's doing it because Hashem, he loves Hashem. He's doing it. So they'll respect you. The children will respect you and love you. So it's interesting. He would also grant you great reward in the world to come. As Hashem said to Shlomo, we just read this on Shabbat. It's very interesting. We just did this on Shabbat. Even that which you did not request, I will give you. Remember, Shlomo Melech asked for understanding. Right? We talked about this Shabbat. It's amazing how it came up. Melachim Aleph, chapter 3, verse 13. Shlomo Melech, Hashem says, what do you want? I'll give you whatever you want. You want money, you want honor, you want long life. What do you want? He said, no. He says, I just want understanding to judge your people. Hashem said, because you asked for that, you're going to get everything as well. You just asked for the golden key to everything. The golden key to everything is wisdom, chachma. You ask for chachma and bina, you get everything.
It was to judge. Huh? Not just for its own sake.
Yes, exactly. In other words, you wanted to judge my people. You wanted to make justice in the world. I'll give you everything else. So what he's saying over here is, if your intention is l'shem shamayim, everything's going to be open for you. And that's a very important idea. It's very hard to get to that level. And you see it sometimes. Some institutions are very, very successful. Some rabbis are very, very successful. Some are not. And it's all to do with pure Meshem Shemayim. So, it's some person has that key of the Shem Shemayim. It's also hard work. And that's the truth. The truth is that a person should eventually get to that stage where a person could say, you know, I'm doing the Shem, I have no interest at all in any financial reward, in any whatever other kind of reward, I just do it the Shem. That's it. That's the highest level. So at least find some kind of mitzvah a person can do the Shem. Okay, so now we come to asking favors, which is very common. Concerning people higher or lower than you on the social ladder, the way to trust in God is this. If you have a request from one of them, rely on God to fill your need. Consider these people as only the messengers who are fulfilling His will. Just as the farmer who tills the soil and plants for a living knows that only if God decides that he should be supported will the seed sprout, produce fruit, and increase. In other words, don't put your trust in the messenger, put your trust in God. This guy I'm asking for a favor. If he's going to be the messenger of God, fine. If he's not going to be God, Hashem will find a different messenger. There's a very famous story of Rav Kahneman. Rav Kahneman was, after the war, he lost Ponovich, yeshiva was destroyed. Ponovich was destroyed. Germans destroyed Ponovich. He goes to Israel, and he wants to rebuild the yeshiva in Bnei Brak. But it's sand, it's just a pile of sand right now. He has his vision, he's going to build this big building on the pile of sand in Bnei Brak. And he goes around the world collecting money, and he built this massive yeshiva. You go there today, it's massive, beautiful, it's a beautiful yeshiva. It's on top of the hill in Bnei Brak. See it from far away, and it has a beautiful Italian Aron HaKodesh, one of the most beautiful they brought it from Italy. Gorgeous. It's very ornate. It's wooden, gold-plated. Amazing. It's, you should go just see the Aron HaKodesh. Amazing. And he went, he would go from place to place collecting money. And more often than not, they would throw him out. Very simple. Sorry, we don't allow, what do you call them? No solicitations over here. You find this... No solicitations over here. I never understood what it was till, you know, till you ask money. Do you see the sign on the door? Oh, what? Sign? No solicitation? Oh, okay. Does that mean me? Yeah, you. Get out. the guy who went with him was very upset. That's not way to do the rabbi. No, he wasn't upset. He said, why aren't you upset? He said, well, listen, we try. Do a hishtadut. Hashem wants to give through this guy. He'll give through this guy. If he doesn't want to give through, he'll give someone else. That's all. Whoever's the merit will give. Doesn't have merit, what happened? So the person who has the merit will give. The person who doesn't have merit will give. Very simple. He wasn't upset.
Was that fear
unfazed, completely unfazed. Amazing. Because he had bitachon in Hashem. Hashem wants it to happen, it will happen. It won't happen through this guy, it will happen through someone else. There's plenty of people. And it happened. You see the buildings. It's amazing how he did it. He had the emunah, he says. Because people laughed at him. They said, what? There's enough yeshivot. There's only 400 people learning Torah in Israel at that time. 400 people. After the Second World War, there's 400 people left. 400 yeshiva boys left in Israel. 400. And that's why Ben-Gurion says, okay, I'll give him dispensation from the army. 400 boys, big deal. You know, we don't need them in the army. Okay. Didn't realize now it's going to be 50,000, 60,000. It's an amazing miracle. It's a miracle. They told him, you don't know the yeshiva. You got Mir came here, and you got the Kamenetz, and you got this. How many yeshiva you didn't need? 400 boys. No. Build another yeshiva. Okay. You build it, they'll come. And they came. Packed. It's packed. It's, I don't know, it's one of the biggest yeshiva in the world. Ponovich. Thousands, hundreds, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000, I'm not sure. 6,000, I'm not sure. I think Mir Yeshiva is the biggest in Yerushalayim, and then you have Lakewood and Ponovich. So three big yeshivas. So it just shows the person has to have that emunah and the Lashem Shemayim. If you ask someone for a favor, okay. If he does it, he does it. Doesn't do it, someone else will do it. Hashem, I'm asking for Hashem, really. This is just the messenger. You want to be the messenger, you be the messenger. You don't want to be the messenger, you be someone else be the messenger. As it says, Megalgalim zechut al yedei zakai, a person who has merit, the merit will come from him. Megalgalim chova al yedei chova, chayav. And bad things will come from a bad person, and good things will come from a good person. So a person is good, merit will be brought about by a person of merit. The one says in Shabbat, Lamed Bet. So it's important. If the person doesn't fulfill your request, don't hold it against them. Don't accuse them. Rather thank Hashem. Hashem is the one who's going to choose whether you get it or you don't get it. He has a favor, that's it. And praise the person for trying to fulfill your wish, even though it did not work out. If someone of a higher or lower station in life makes a request from you, try and help them. Provided the one who asks is worthy of the effort. And trust Hashem to help you accomplish it. It's very hard, right? Some other person says, can you do me a favor? Can you lend me some money? I'll tell you, when I got married, I tried to buy a house. I had nothing, really, honestly. And I asked my best friend, he's really, this guy's a tzaddik, and I asked him, he gave me a loan. $5,000. At that time, it was $5,000, a lot of money. Help me buy an apartment in Israel. So now I take a mortgage, a down payment, and I got a mortgage. So thank God, he helped me, and I helped pay him back. I was saying, just sometimes you ask the right guy and he helps you, and it's like he saved your life, really. He helps you do a big thing. Buy a house in Israel. It's a big thing, major thing in those days. In those days, it was dirt cheap. You can buy a house for $25,000. Wish I bought 10. But I never had money. Can I tell you? So, if you ask someone for a favor and he gives you, he's a vehicle of God. Thank God and thank the person. If he doesn't give you, it's a vehicle of God as well. Hashem says no. Try someone else. So you have to thank them as well. Thank you for trying, and if you didn't, you try your best. That's all. And if you can be the vehicle to help other people, trusting God to help you to accomplish it. And if with God's help you fulfilled his wish and brought him great benefit, do not boast about it or ask for thanks or remuneration. Thank Hashem for making you the instrument of goodness in the world. That's a very powerful idea. That we should all be that's called the Merkava of the Shekhinah. We should all be the vehicle for God in the world. So if something good can come out of you, you should thank Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for helping me do good in the world. Thank you, Hashem, for making me the conduit for goodness in the world. Now we come to how to deal with enemies. This is very, very important. As for enemies and people who envy you or wish to harm you, trust Hashem to deal with them. When we say every morning, what do we say every day? In the Shemoneh Esrei, right at the end, "Nkalalai nafshi tidom, v'nafshi ki afar tiyeh." For those who curse me, my soul should be quiet, and I should be like dust in front of everyone. We say every morning. Where's the tefillah passing? Sidur. Yes, you can see. So we say every day in the Shemoneh Esrei, right? The last paragraph of Shemoneh Esrei. Here we are. Open the right page here. My God, guard my tongue from evil, my lips from speaking deceit. To those who curse me, let my soul remain silent. Nafshi kiafalotia, and my soul be as dust to all. Chola kemi malaylera, and whoever rises up against me to do me harm, meirah haferatatam, you nullify their conspiracy. Kalkel mashavotam, ruin their plans. We pray every day. Hashem, you're the one who... So what do we get here? Just pray to God to help us, save us from enemies. That's it. Pray to God all the time. Easy. So that's part of bitachon. Part of bitachon is, a person says, I have enemies, people dislike me, people want to hurt me. I pray to God to help me, to save me from them.
Yeah.
So the Psalms, David HaMelech. Repay them with kindness. Do as much good for them as you can. Look at this. Endure the insults. Don't retaliate. Repay them with the kindness. Keep in mind, it's all from Hashem. If your enemies brought hardship upon you, judge them favorably. It's so hard to do this. It's like a very high level. Attribute your suffering. This is what David HaMelech did with Shimi Ben Gera. Remember we talked about it on Shabbat, right? Shimi Ben Gera cursed David when he's running away from Absalom. David, and they want to kill him. They want to kill him. You're the king. He's cursing you. Kill him. No. Hashem decreed it. It's all from Hashem. So he says, attribute your suffering to your own wrongdoings and beg his forgiveness for your sins. If you do so, your enemies will come to love you. What's that book? How to Win Friends and Influence People?
Stephen
Covey. Now, who's the guy?
Dale Carnegie.
Dale Carnegie, here's a different way of doing it. Listen, just don't take insults, that's it. Don't get insulted. Life is too short. Believe me, life is too short. We bear all this in our heads and we can't sleep at night. And it's not worth it. Just get it out of your system. Life is just too short. Let it all go off the duck's back. What off the duck's back? Go right over you, right through you, and not affect you. It's very, very important to get like that, become like that, so the person will have a very rough life. Because everyone, this one says something about you, and they're going to do. So it's very important just to be able to sleep at night, not to let it affect you. How do you not let it affect you? Let Hashem handle my enemies, that's it. I don't bear any grudges, I don't hate anyone. Forgive and forget. And when you do that, it says, even your enemies will make peace with you. All of a sudden, you'll see that they're making peace with you. Why? Because they see you're not a danger. You're not fighting back. You're not threatening them. You're not. It's a very hard issue. It's a very, very hard issue. Obviously, we have to go more in detail. It depends what kind of enemies we're talking about. Are they physically trying to kill you? What are they trying to do? We're not talking about trying to kill you. We're talking about regular people at work. We don't like you. Okay, fourth area. Person's got to trust in God, and that is in mitzvot. This includes things like fasting, which is hard, right? You fast. It was yesterday. Person's got to trust in God. Everything's going to be okay. I'm fasting. I'm not eating. Everything's going to be okay. Let's pray. Person says, I've got time to pray. I need to trust in God. I have time to pray. I'm not busy. I'm not going to answer the phone. I'm not going to miss something, right? So if you were very, I was expecting a very urgent call today, but I'm praying. Trusting God that it wouldn't affect me during my prayers. It wouldn't call me. Because tremendous yetzara. It's an important call. Da, 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 and thank God he called just after. Thank God. So, but it's a good. It's a person going to have emunah just to stop what they're doing. Pray mincha. It's so hard. Emunah takes to stop. And in the middle of your work, and especially making a business deal, whatever it is. Right? It's a very hard issue. Very, very hard issue. I was reading about the father of the Ramah. This is a beautiful story. The father of the Ramah, Ramosh Isserles, very famous Ashkenazi rabbi who wrote the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, which Ashkenazi didn't follow. It says his father owned a store selling cloth material. And his father decided he's not going to work past midday on Shabbat, on Friday. Midday on Friday, he closed the store. Midday on Friday. So the man came 20 minutes before midday. I want to buy da 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 da. Looking through his cloth. The father says, it's midday, I got to close. So listen, I'm going to provide you thousands of dollars. Don't worry, I'm going to buy a lot of material. You're going to be able to just for another 20 minutes. What's the problem? No. Midday, I close. He shut his door midday, and the guy won't. Lost the business deal. Lost a tremendous amount of money. He didn't think about it. And then he had a dream after that. He says, "Your reward is we're going to give you a child who's going to light up the world with Torah." That's the Ramah, Moshe Isserles. Amazing. So, we know the story of the father of Rashi, right? The jewel. It's became an art scroll bestseller. Kids' book, right? The father of Rashi used to sell jewels. And one day they came to him and they wanted a jewel for the eye of their idol. They had two, he had two rubies. They wanted to buy it for the eyes of the idol. And he says, okay, what can he do? The king is the king's whatever. So he's on the boat now. Like he's going to deliver the jewels to the king. And he says, I was looking at the jewels and they fell overboard. So that's how he got out of selling it for the idol. He threw him overboard, basically. But he did like an accident happened. And he was crying, pretending, he lost the jewels, and he's crying, and they had mercy on him because he lost the business deal and he lost the jewels as well, and they sent it back home. And he got a reward from heaven. They said, you're going to have a child called Rashi, who's the jewel. That's the jewel. You lost the jewel, but you got a jewel. So we don't know. We don't know how Hashem works. We don't know how Hashem operates. It's all to do with a person's mind. It's all to do with a person's thoughts, really. Person has pure thoughts and happy thoughts and good thoughts. Hashem says, "I'm going to reward you. I like you." That's what it is. Basically, that's what it is. For Noach matzachen b'nei Hashem, and Noach found favor in the eyes of God. Why did Noach find favor in the eyes of God? We don't know. It doesn't say. But the answer is his heart was pure, obviously. Why did God like the korban of Hevel, not the korban Cain? Because Hevel gave the best. He did the best. He tried the best. Hashem knows our hearts, that's the thing. Person knows. So the difference between one mitzvah and the other is the heart, basically. That's very different. You're both doing the same thing. Hashem says, I like the way this guy comes to shul. He comes with his heart, he loves to do, he loves to be here, he loves to be with me. And the other guy, but again, from Saragra, we don't know how Hashem judges these things. We have no idea what's going on. Hashem prefers someone from far than someone who's close. So it's amazing. Hashem comes. Someone is coming from far away. Shalom, shalom. La rachok ve la karov, Amar Hashem. Prophet says. Peace, peace to those who come from far, and then peace to those who come from near. So a person who's a Baal Teshuva is coming from far away, Hashem says, oh, that's the guy I want. That's the guy I'm going to say shalom to first. He came from far away. Wow, that's tremendous merits. A person has tremendous merits. We don't realize how much merit. A Baal Teshuva has tremendous merits. And the biggest merit is the ger, convert. Comes. Tremendous merit. Come from very far away. They came to God from far away. That's a tremendous merit. You can never take away from some of that. Tremendous merit. So that's what Hashem loves. Hashem loves the heart. People come from far away. People trying their best. People striving. People forgive and forget. Tremendous merit of forgiving and forgetting. Right? It's called Mavira Midotav. Person's Mavira Midotav. Person changes their midot. He passes over their anger. A person gets angry and they cover the anger. They lose the anger. Hashem says, you lose your anger, I'm going to lose my anger. I'm going to break all the decrees against you. Amazing. Okay, so we have to talk about trusting in God in terms of mitzvot. A person says, they have to pray to God. I ask Hashem to guide me towards the truth. It is mercy. Help me fulfill this mitzvah. Help me fulfill this mitzvah. Help me fulfill this mitzvah. Help me to make moral decisions. Help me to speak truth. Help me to follow through on my choices. Help me through to implement the chosen path and make it a reality. I want to do a mitzvah. I want to do some kind of mitzvah. And please help me, Hashem, to do the mitzvah. So we have to pray also to help. Ask for help to do the mitzvah. Especially a person says, I want to make aliyah to Israel. Oh boy. Better pray hard. Hashem, help me pray. Make successful aliyah. Everyone can make aliyah. Just successful aliyah is a hard one. You have to pray to Hashem. You just got to pray all the time, constantly. If a person wants to get married, you just got to keep praying. If a person wants to have kids, you got to pray. It's like amazing. Never non-stop. But those prayers are very precious because they're prayers based on faith in God. In other words, when a person prays to God for something, you're showing faith. It's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of trust. And then you have the trust in God to follow through and say, yeah, I'm going to make Aliyah, I'm going to have trust in God, and Hashem will just hate me. That's the next level. So different levels of doing a mitzvah. We got to have faith, I can pray to God to help me do it. Then I got to have the trust to be able to continue to do it. So he says two of these three things are under your control. Number one is you're free to make the choice to serve God or disobey Him. Number two, you are free to determine to follow through in that choice or not. But whether you actually do the good or the evil deed is not up to you. So you can follow through, but you don't know if you're going to be successful or not. And that is dependent on things which are in God's control. I'm going to stop here. We'll continue next week. This is a very complicated topic about trusting in God for the sake of mitzvot. And come back to it.